On Half Time, he's the gentle giant of Geelong. He's the big hairy cat. He's our man, Cameron Mooney, for O'Connell's, Melbourne's number one foodie pub.
When you're here on a Tuesday afternoon in the studios of Half Time, because I'll be with you, Cameron Mooney. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
Oh, you look up and about. Did something happen today, did it?
Well,
did
yeah.
Did something happen?
A little something happened this morning.
You didn't beat my cherries, did you?
You're the cherry man.
I've jumped off the Buckets. I'm on the cherries. I'm on the fairy tale story. I love the cherries. Go the cherries.
Ben Dickey scored this morning. Should have been disallowed, but yeah, we'll take that anyway.
Stop cheating.
Sometimes
mate.
You just need a little bit of luck in this game.
Stop cheating.
Just sitting third on the EPL ladder.
How about you give us a go? Just let us have our moment, mate. Stop
Look, you're
going
to finish. You're going to be relegated anyway. So
no,
you might as well
we're
just
not.
Get used
we're
to
going
it
to
now.
Europe, mate.
We're trying to push here for
we're going
a Champions
Europe.
League spot.
You know, mate, you're not good enough.
Probably not. But we can only hope and dream.
You can only hope and dream. The mighty Cherry's a bit stiff today. Offside call, poorly. Well, wasn't called for the offside. And your mate, just snagging one there, just to put a bit of pain through the Cherry hearts.
You want to see your new signing score early too. It was nice.
You want to see him do it legitimately.
No it was
cheating.
Legit.
No cheating involved.
It was legit.
Gee whiz.
If it wasn't called,
it's almost as bad as the goal review system in the AFL, that one. It's almost as bad.
Jeez, what happened Friday night? Jared McVeigh virtually said it was touched off the boot, did he?
He seemed to give up pretty easily.
I think he even said the boys like basically set up. Zone it up. It was touched.
He seemed to cough it up pretty quick.
And he threw him under the bus with his interview after the game.
I didn't say that.
Richo interviewed him after the game and asked him about the score review. And he goes, yeah, no, it was touched. Like sitting up in the box going, oh boy, I'm in some trouble.
Oh, pancake. Don't be guessing.
But see, we were there live on the night and we couldn't believe that it was called a goal. But then we started thinking, well, maybe they saw some footage that we hadn't saw. Or hadn't seen, I should say.
Yes.
But no, that wasn't the case. They just completely butched that one up.
Oh, seriously. How could you possibly have any confidence in it? Because it's impossible.
We're going to the bunker next year. So
but even
okay.
That's not going to help because you still, that's just one central spot. That just transfers the ownership of it. It's not going to help. The angles don't help. You've got to have, if you want to do it properly, you've got to have 180,000 cameras at every ground. That's not going to happen.
Well, you need like
HD, well, slow-mo,
well, the NFL,
super slow-mo.
The NFL, I think the NBA, they have the bunker.
Yeah, but their game's a bit different.
But they have more cameras because they can afford more cameras.
They work in straight lines all the time. They don't know what's going on. They know
yeah,
where
but the
ball's
going. Zoom right in and big close up, slow it right down. They can do that with just about every angle.
Well, I don't think
we have enough cameras, or maybe we don't have the technology. I don't know. But if we're going to go ahead with it, you've got to make sure that simple things like that don't happen.
Well, you either make a call, I reckon. You either make a call that it's only goal line issues, or you scrap the whole thing. Because you can't be doing... The touch ones are impossible to see.
Well,
unless you,
they are.
Unless you get the absolute finger bender, which goes back at 90 degrees, which sometimes happens, but very rarely happens.
Unless you can actually stop it to where his finger is bent back.
Yeah.
Even then...
With HD clarity.
Yes. even then, it's quite hard. But you're right. If you're going to do it, let's just make a goal
just
line.
Just keep it goal line.
Keep in play, just in play. Umpire's call.
I'm with you. Goal line all the way if you're going to have the review.
And the call was touched, wasn't it?
Then you can control
it. The call was touched.
The call was touched,
yes.
Then you can control it much better rather than having to guess from the outside general play situation. Because then you can put your cameras in there and try and get the best angles possible. Even that's a bit of a stretch at the moment. But if you're going to do that properly and control that part of it. Rather than worrying about the general play stuff, because you're going to get bad free kicks in the game, they're going to cost you goals.
Absolutely.
You might get a few touch calls that aren't called touched or.
It says we're going to start going back into play. Then where does it stop? You know, we could
exactly.
Yeah, we could go back and stop this and stop that, and all of a sudden the game's just, well, it is, it's NFL, stop, start.
Keep it to the goal line. That's my advice. HQ, they love the program. Gillen, he texts in a lot. He says, half good stuff. That's what he says.
Big Gil.
He loves the program. Loves, so he'll be listening. So, Gil, just keep it to the goal line and we'll be happy. How was your weekend, Moons?
Weekend was really good, nice. Thank you. We had a Friday night in Sydney. Flew over to Adelaide, watched a cracking game, cracking contest, Port v Giants.
Oh, a
little
willing,
bit feisty.
A willing encounter.
A little bit fiery. A little bit of a how you do at halftime there.
A little
cracker.
Bit of what?
How you do?
Hey, how you do?
Cracker. I love a bloke who's in a vest, still finds his way into a mellow.
Good on him.
Respect.
Well, he's a part of the 22. He's in the team sheet. He's entitled to get in the blue, isn't he?
But it wasn't so much he's going over there to grab his mates and, you know, pull them out of the fight. It was bang, dropped a shoulder into somebody.
Well, the match review panel just said there was no
issue. I was surprised he didn't get something on that.
Well,
fine.
I think we've learned now that the vested player, this, I was talking about this yesterday with Robbo Moons, that we didn't know the boundaries of the vested player. We didn't know what couldn't do. We know he can't play until the vest comes off.
A vested player can't run onto a field.
It's a tough time. The game's not in motion. It's a stop player.
I would have thought
situation.
A vested player could come on and get involved in a mellow.
He's part of the 22. He's on the team sheet.
But is he actually officially involved in the game?
Well, he's not an active player at that time, but no one is because the game stopped. It's a very interesting situation.
It's a good point.
It's a very interesting situation. And we learned from the MRP yesterday, and the AFL haven't come out and said any otherwise since, that the MRP, it's at half time, a quarter time, if you've got the vest, you can do whatever the hell you like. You can do whatever the hell you like.
Like I said, you can't give away a free kick, so you might as well just come on, knock someone over.
That's right. You've got time to rest after it. Doesn't impact you.
Why not?
This hour for the new Golden Herb Schnitzel sub from Subway, by the way, which is one of the all-time great subs that Subway have come up with. Try one today if you haven't. They are delicious. That game has been, got a bit of feedback, that game outside of the melee or the non-melee, as it was deemed by the MRP, for the way that the Giants fought back and stood up for themselves, Moons. Were you impressed by that?
Yeah, look, unbelievably impressed. I mean, you look at the first quarter, I think Port may have kicked first three to four goals, and you thought, oh, here we go. This is on top of their game here, and they had the crowd behind them, and off they were going to go, and to their credit, they fought back. You also got to remember, the Giants were missing like a big chunk of their starting mids.
Yeah, that's why I didn't pick them.
Yeah. Well,
I would have picked them.
I just went with Port in the end, but I've had a feeling about the Giants. They just do. They fight the game out. It's a great quality to have in any team, especially when you're a young group like that.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, in another 12, 24 months, a couple of more years into the gym, fitness levels are higher again. Their competitiveness is as good as any in the competition. They're just not ready yet to see out four quarters against the best sides every week. But they will. They're going to be
time.
Scary.
Yeah, they will in time, absolutely. Did you get a look at why, or get a gauge as to why Port have been the disappointment that they have been in season 2015, mates? Surely Ollie Wines isn't the difference between them being a good team and a poor
team.
Helps. I'm sure he's not Brett DeLidio style.
No, but he helps. He might be by the end of the year.
Well, it looks as though he might have some sort of impact, a similar impact to Brett DeLidio when he plays.
I don't even know if they know why they've had such an up and down year and such a disappointing season. I mean, I know against the Bulldogs, when the ball went the other way, they just didn't chase. Mm. They didn't run. But on the weekend, they did. They brought that back into their game. But again, I still say if Giants were at their full strength,
yep,
I think the Giants would have won that. So are we looking at Port really and saying, you know, are they, I'm not back, but are they back to somewhere near their best and they're going to finish the season off really well? Well, I don't know because I think the Giants were so undermanned and to still only go down by that margin. I mean, they got a bit of a blowout in the end.
Well, it's only.
But they were cooked. I think it was 31, was it?
21.
21 points.
21 points. Not too bad, really.
Yeah. I mean, last quarter, I think they went in front last quarter.
They, what was it? It was 11-13 to 12-9 at three-quarter time. So what's that? 13-1 to 13-3. Mm. Yeah, 2 points. 2 points in front there at three-quarter time. And they've got, Port have got an interesting run home too, to just to top off the year. Hawthorne this Friday night at Etihad Stadium, where we will be live, of course, at Melbourne's home of footy. Gold Coast at Metricon, never easy up there. And Freo at the Adelaide Oval. Yeah. So their year just goes from bad to worse.
Tough gig. Tough gig the last 3 weeks.
Without
it?
The Chad.
Even the Suns, I take it that's the Suns at home.
Metricon? At Metricon.
Two away games.
Two away games.
That hurts.
Correct. Well, they must have had two home games. In fact, they had a lot of back-to-back games at the Adelaide Oval. Well, they get one every year with the showdown.
Yes.
And they've had three other episodes of back-to-back games at the Adelaide Oval. Without the Chad, what's their forward line looking like?
Not great. Well, you think Schultz went out in the warm-up?
Not helpful.
Hurt his back. But Chad is having some type of, last 10 weeks.
Chad's awesome, mate.
His second half of the year is extraordinary. I mean, his numbers. I think he's kicked, three plus goals in the last, how many games?
Eight. Did he get three last week? Because he was on a streak.
He had eight in a row.
I reckon he could be up to 10 by now if he got three last week.
You got kicked three.
Well, that's about 10 in a row. Minimum three. He's a
remarkable player. That is red hot form right now.
He's a remarkable player.
And people say, let's put him back into the midfield. Well, he does spend a little bit of time in the midfield to give boys a bit of a rest here and there. But when you've got a guy that hot, he's kicking that many goals. I mean, he kicked two in the last quarter, both on the right peg, mind you.
He wins them games. That's what I love about him.
It's the same as Rioli. I keep talking about Rioli over the years. Oh, he should be in the midfield. Doesn't get enough possessions, Rioli. Doesn't do enough. But we have now realised that Rioli is a 10 to 15 possession getter. Game getter.
Yep.
And what he does with those...
possibly the best ever at it.
...is unbelievable. So we've come to acknowledge that, and I think that's what we need to do with Chad. We don't want to see him in the midfield getting 35 possessions. They've got good midfielders. We want to see him kicking goals. We haven't got enough guys just down there just kicking goals.
Do you know what it is nice, though, Moons? It's nice to actually reflect and analyse performances with quality rather than quantity. So often, correct. I think these days, we get caught up with all the...
We get caught up with numbers now, don't we?
Huge numbers. Oh,
35 possessions.
30, 35.
But he's had 20 handballs.
Yeah, and they've gone a metre each
time.
Yeah,
exactly.
When you've got
about Sydney in a minute,
guys like Wingard and Rioli that don't need the big numbers, but they can impact the game and be the difference in
the game. You give me a guy who can give me 12 possessions and give me six goals. Well, not even six. That was one out of the box.
It was out of the box, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, you give me three goals and give me three goal assists out of your 12 possessions.
Happy days.
Out of a guy who gives me 35 possessions and just racks them up down the back half.
Your calls, 9429 1116 on halftime. Paul's in West Sunshine. G'day, Paul.
How's it going, buddy?
Good, pal.
Just want to talk about the Bulldogs. How good they're going this year.
Well, there's no...
Far away, Paul. Hey, let's listen.
They're firing good. And another thing, how come Caleb Daniels hasn't got a nomination for the NAB star, Rising Star?
Well, he hasn't played well enough just yet.
Yeah.
According to the judges, that's all right. He's a good little player.
I guess
you've got to
look at his best games and who was nominated that weekend.
Well, we know that Jordan DeGoey is this week's NAB Rising Star nominee. And I was actually surprised once I saw that email come through last night that he hadn't been nominated before. I think he's had a stellar first season for the Magpies.
Couldn't agree more.
Jordan DeGoey. So he's this week's nominee for the Rising Star. And the boys in the run home will talk to him tomorrow night.
Caleb Daniel, I mean, he came on as a sub, I think, on the weekend. So it's very hard to come on as a sub and get nominated.
Yeah. And he's had some impact in games. But in time, I have no doubt that he will get a nomination.
You know what he and the Bulldogs have to do? And
he's got a helmet, too. He'll be noticed.
So what he needs to do?
Paint the helmet.
Well, he's just got to get a little bit of a nice little sponsorship there. If I was his manager, I'd be looking for a little bit of sponsorship.
I wonder if
maybe
can
put
you
a
do
Dogs
that?
Sponsorship on there, a little Slater and Gordon.
Mission food action on the back of the helmet, side of the helmet.
A la Sean Hart, just go and give it off to the crowd after every game, after every win.
Ah, there you go.
That's how you get a little bit of a good reputation and everyone starts to love you.
This is a very fine idea.
If I be the Bulldogs, and look, he's going to wear the helmet, then take full advantage of it.
Now, the R&D department is making a very good point on the computer screen in front of you. He's worn the same helmet since junior footy. So he's only had the one. So he's going to have to get replicas made up and sign them to give him
obviously
away.
Obviously, his head hasn't grown.
No, his head. He was an early developer from a head side point
Maybe
of view.
Maybe that's why he was getting hit early. He had such a big melon and his body hadn't caught up to him yet. Seriously, the same helmet.
Yeah, the same helmet. Yeah, I do. That's
surely
right.
He's had a... Throw it in the wash, and the wash has probably, tore it apart a little bit.
No, it's the same helmet since his junior days. Now, he's not far from his junior days, so that mightn't be that long, by the way, but it's the same helmet he's used throughout his junior career. So there you go for Caleb Daniel. But good idea. And the Doggies are flying. Moon's left him in a very, very good state, and they've just blossomed.
Because it's another thing there. Like, this is, it's a great marketing tool for the Bulldogs.
It is.
Imagine all the little tackers going to the footy, just wearing helmets.
Wearing helmets.
Caleb Daniel helmets.
The Daniel squad.
There we go.
The Caleb Daniel,
Daniel
squad.
Daniel squad. Well done.
Yeah, that'll work.
There's so much the Doggies could do on this one.
They'll be listening. They love the program as well.
Take advantage.
Thank you, Paul, for your call. Reg is in Melton. G'day, Reg.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Just, you're talking about the review system before. In the, I got really confused. In the Richmond game, Richmond had a kick for goal, and it went directly between the posts, right? So the posts were not a concern. Okay, right. It was a front on shot.
Right.
There was a point there, and somebody, one of the players who got up, knocked the ball back into play.
Yep.
But the umpire called it a point because he didn't think that the entire ball was over the line.
Right.
That's an incorrect decision, isn't it? Because shouldn't it have been either a goal or play on? And when they showed the vision, the ball was clearly a goal. Right? I mean, that's just a simple mistake he's made in. He thought it wasn't over the line and it was. But what happens to the ball? Say he had been right, it can't possibly ever be a point because it wasn't rushed through.
I get your point. I haven't seen the incident, but I get your visual that you're painting for us. So the ball's gone to the goal.
So the ball's gone over the line.
Didn't cross the entire line. The ball didn't cross the line, so it couldn't be a complete goal. And the ball was smashed back into play, so it couldn't be a point. But
well, that should be. Is that play on then? Is that
no? I think that's what Reg is saying. That did they go to the review? Is this what we're saying? Reg, did they review this?
I can't remember.
Yeah, mate, yeah, they reviewed and they had the make goal. It was a great shot. They had all the arms and everything going up, but the ball was clearly, it was a ball and a half behind the line. It was a goal. And it was given a goal by the reviewers.
I was given a goal.
Yeah, but my concern is the umpire's call of, I think it's a point. It can't be a point if it's put back into play.
No, that is true.
No, that's a good point.
That is true. It's a very fine point you raise, Reg. That's very good pick-up.
But this, again, going back to the goal review system, this is exactly why we bring it in, so we get these ones right.
So
don't worry about the ones that touch so much with the McVay one. I know we always want to get the right decision, but no, it's just too hard to worry about what's going on.
It's too hard, that one.
But we got that one right. That's the main thing. No, there, Reg.
Reg, thank you for your call. Interesting point you bring up. You've got, thanks to Harbour Town Hotel and Harbour Town Docklands, you've won a $50 voucher with classic pub favourites in convenient location on the ground, the shopping at Harbour Town. You'll love it. And for everyone, jump on the SEN Win page at the website, sen.com.au. Enter the Park Like a Superstar competition for your chance to have your own exclusive car park painted in your team colours, valued at $4,000 for 12 months. That is worth winning, that one. Let's get to Mick in Mulgrave. G'day, Mick.
G'day, fellas. How are we?
G'day, Mick.
Just want to talk about how important that winner was for West Coast about the honesty or keeping the run to the finals honest for the other teams in the finals. Because if Freo had a one and locked up top spot, they'd probably come to Melbourne with, you know, resting five, Pavlich probably about six or seven players, and North Melbourne get a bit of a free hit at them.
Is that for this week? Yeah, look, I still don't mind when clubs do that. They have every right to rest players coming into the end of the season. It's such a long the pre-season, then you go into the season. It's a long season and it's hard. It's brutal on the players. It's brutal on their bodies. Mentally, it's brutal.
That's not about peaking for the home and away season, is it? It's about peaking for the final.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you know you've got top spots sewn up, there is no point in throwing players who may have some niggles. And every player comes to the end of the year, they have niggles. Every player has niggles. So why not take that advantage of resting players? I completely and utterly agree with clubs that can do it and do it at the right times.
And it's not as if you don't know it when that's happening. I mean, it's pretty clear when the teams are picked on the Thursday
soreness night.
And the general comes out being rested or managed or rested.
Absolutely.
Or the general comes out. We know what's
it's
happening.
It's a smart thing to do. We've learnt this over the years when, you know, I know Geelong, we did it. I know Hawks did it in 2012. You go into the finals, just you're a bit underdone because you haven't put enough rest into certain players. And you learn from those mistakes. As both clubs did the year after.
It's not about peaking for round 22 or round 21 or round 16.
So give out cups in August.
No August cups around here, Moons. Thanks for your call, Mick. Sean's in North Andenong. G'day, Sean.
Morning, gentlemen. Or afternoon, gentlemen. How are you both?
We're well.
Thank you.
I'm a passionate North man, as you probably know, and I won't get caught up in Jack getting 2-1 after Cooney getting 1 for the knocking a bloke out. But nevertheless, Moondog, question for you. Most people would say North have had probably an average year. Yet after 6 wins in a row, which most people thought they'd drop 1 or 2, we find ourselves on level points with Richmond and only 1 game behind the Dogs. Do you think they're capable of now that they've got their 3 big games of Freo, the Dogs and Tigers, they're able to step it up and have an impact in September?
Look, I think we all are on agreement. When North are at their absolute best, they are bloody hard to beat and they could take it up to any single team in the competition. The problem is we don't know what you're going to get from week to week sometimes with North Melbourne. When you look at the weekend, I mean, that first half against St Kilda was a pretty ordinary one against a young team who is, ain't no question, St Kilda are cooked. Their young bodies are absolutely stuffed. That's why their second halves are usually fallen over the last few weeks.
A lot of guns out too last
week. Yeah, a lot of guns. They are cooked. So their first half was sensational what they did. And North Melbourne couldn't match it with them. Now, they ran over the top of it in the end because of they are a good side. And I think at the end of the day, St Kilda probably ran out a little bit. Can they go on and what they do in the finals, Sean? Look, I still look at them and think, well, about 6th or 7th is probably where I had them anyway. For most of the year, I thought last year that's where they finished around that spot on the ladder, and they went on and they had 2 fantastic wins in the finals, and they got into a prelim final. I didn't believe that they were a top 4 side last year, and I didn't think that actually
they came good at the right time.
Yeah, they came good at the right time, but that doesn't mean that you're a top 4 team because they finished in a prelim. Top 4 teams are the ones that finish there at the home and away.
Yeah,
it's about teams who can go the 22 or the 23 weeks. And then finish in the top 4. That's when you're a top 4 side. If you play well in finals, then you get through to a prelim. They're fantastic. It doesn't mean you're a top 4 side.
Thank you, Sean. We'll see. A couple of weeks for the
Kings. They may do it again.
Yeah.
They've got the ability to do that again. They won't finish top 4, obviously, but they've got a chance. They will have the ability. They do have the ability to win a couple and get back into a prelim.
We'll see if they can continue their momentum next 2 weeks. Freo and the Bulldogs, both at Etihad. And Richmond to finish. All at Etihad Stadium. Cameron Mooney, the Triple Premiership player, Big Hairy Cat, is with us on Tuesday afternoons. Oh, thanks to the new Golden Hoof Schnitzel sub from Subway. Clayton and Elwood, just talking about the situation about managing players' moons, which we did before. Isn't that bringing the game into disrepute, he says? What about sports betting markets? So it's one set of rules for top teams to bottom teams. No, Clayton, because what you're suggesting about bottom teams is that they would be tanking and being out there on the field, not performing to their best. When you rest players, you are fully aware of the personnel that are in that team on that weekend.
They have told you straight up.
And then you get
your
to make
decision
a call.
To bet on that
if
game.
If you want to bet on that game, then I would suggest you would need to reassess your strategy.
Yes.
Because that is a bad idea. Unless you think they're going to not be a good team and not try, and then back the other team.
Correct.
Gamble responsibly. I would suggest a strategy review might be required. Mark's in Epping. Let's get to Mark. Hello, Mark.
How are you, boys?
Good, thank you.
That's good. Look, I'm glad you touched on Rioli earlier because I'm a Hawk fan and I've been seeing it for years now with Cyril that doesn't need a lot of touches, and I'm glad you're finally seeing his impact on the game. And because I've seen a lot of other players racking it up, like you said, like people like Swan. A lot of the time they're just hacking the ball forward and there's a lot of turnovers with their touches. So it's good that he's getting finally the rewards that people can see what he's doing. And never thought that he had a big motor to start with. So, and he, because of his speed, it probably prevents him from running out an endurance game with him. And that's the first point. The second point, do you think he could get all Australian? And if Wingard and Betts are before him, that they could have him on the bench as an All-Australian?
Cyril?
Yes.
Oh, it'd certainly been the calculations, you'd think.
Well, this is, actually talking about this the other day with somebody. Wingard has to be, or does he have to be?
The Chad. Oh, I think he's a
straight
walking
in.
Star.
Is Eddie Betts, even though he'll still go close to 50 goals.
Yep.
Which is an amazing effort from a small
forward. Yep, he's a small forward.
Rioli's been unbelievably believable this year, but he hasn't kicked the goals that these other two have kicked. As far as, might only be under 30, I think, at the moment.
Not sure how many goals Cyril's kicked, but he's having a good year.
Sorry, I'm just having a
very good year from a goal-kicking point of view.
But I think those two boys would have to be in front of him if you're looking at the stats, looking at pure goals.
pure goals, I think that would be correct.
But I remember talking about Rioli last year's grand final. He came in, didn't he? What, did he miss the whole final series? Did he come in for the prelim?
Might have been a Yeah, he played the grand VFL grand final.
He did too. Before. Came off at half time.
Came off at half time.
Because I think he only had, I think he had less than 10 possessions. I think I gave him, you know, a 7 or an 8 out of 10. Because of just the little things that he did. I mean, his tackling pressure was amazing. A couple of tap-ons that resulted in goals.
Don't mention the tap-ons when KB's around, mate.
I know. But it just everything about his game, and again, it was a 10-possession game, and he got subbed out in the end. I just thought he was outstanding in that game.
He was. Thank you for your call. Colin's in Mornington. G'day, Cole.
32 goals going? He's kicked.
32. Good work. G'day, Cole.
How you going?
Good.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Colin.
I've got a question for you regarding equalisation of the draw from last year.
Yeah.
With regards to the top six, middle six and bottom six.
Yep.
Do you think that's influenced the Western Bulldogs and West Coast, how they've risen up the ladder for an easier run?
It's probably had a hand in it, yeah.
I think that might even out next year.
I think if you look back on that, both of these teams got off to really good starts, and then from then their confidence has grown. Now they've turned into really good teams. So yes, at the start of the season, no doubt the easier draws had something to play with, and Collingwood was the same. So Collingwood start off the year absolutely brilliantly well, and that's what we wanted. That's why we loved that draw, because we were seeing the bottom sides up into the finals.
Yep.
Now as the year's gone on, we've seen some sides drop out. But we've also seen a couple of teams in West Coast and the Dogs whose confidence have just grown through the roof, who are now staying in finals and will play finals at the end of the year.
It's a bit like
fantastic for the competition.
It is. And it's a bit like the Stall Gift in many ways, Moons, that you get one real chance off a handicap.
Yes.
And once you've achieved your mark and you've made an impact.
Once you've had your 96 steps of glory.
Then the handicapper gets you, mate. He gets you, and you've got to do it off your own bat.
Because I don't know if Richo could have got there with 102 steps.
No, he's only 57.
Oh, 57, was
it? Yeah, he's only 57.
Only 57 steps.
Yeah. Long striding, Richo.
Didn't he? Long striding. Well, 63 steps he would have won.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah, you get a crack if you're down the bottom, and they're the ones that you keep your eye on, Cole. The ones that rise rapidly, because that next year is the real test.
It is why he also...
But make hay while the sun shines.
It's also when you're down in that bottom six or in that middle six, you know, right now. Probably just want to hang around that little position there, Daniel. When you know finals are out of your reach.
Your resting players, are you, man?
Resting players, right, you know, okay. Just because you get that easier draw next year.
Colin,
it all comes into play.
Starting the line, the Elmore Oil Pack coming your way. 2 months supply of life-based broad-spectrum probiotics as well. And, of course, every call that we give a prize to gets the Cocoa Hydrate and the Bataki Hams to add to the tally. So, starting the line, Colt, we'll get your details. Damien in Furtree Gully, g'day.
You blokes talking about Cyril, and he was spectacular the other night, by the way. There's a bloke down at the Dogs who's having a similar impact with just as fewer possessions, and it's happening weekly. I think he's kicked 16 goals in the last four games, and he's only averaging about 15 touches.
Jakey Stringer.
We all know who he is.
Yeah.
He's an absolute superstar.
It's the package.
No, we're not calling him the package.
No, I think he's calling himself the package.
I don't think he is. I think
no, not Jakey. He's such a great kid, Jakey.
Oh, he's a ripper. I mean, I was excited 2 years ago watching him go about his business when he made those couple of little games, you know, because he's coming back from that knee, and I got a friend in the industry who said he would have been a number one if not for that broken leg.
Yep.
And, look, we're seeing it. I mean, I can't remember seeing a person at the Dogs that's been able to control a game the way he does. It reminds me of a bloke down from Geelong. He used to wear number 5 a little bit.
Oh, Travi Vaco.
Travi Vaco.
That's the one.
Yeah, well, different style player.
In the 80s.
Yes, no, there was... yeah, look, spot on. Like, won't ever compare anyone to the great man.
Let's not go too hard too early.
But he's kicked 44 goals this year, Jakey. And more than likely he'll finish... Like, you look at the home and away, that's where you want to test yourself as a forward with your goals. You know, you get a bag full of goals in the finals, which is sensational. But you look at it at the end of the home and away, how many did you kick? He's kicked 44. You'd be looking at 50 goals. Oh, that's a fantastic result.
Yeah.
Fantastic return for a guy in his third year of football.
Mate.
And he's only going to get better because he's only going to get fitter. He's only going to get stronger. And he's a guy that is so hard to match up on. He's fantastic in the air because of his one-on-one strength in his body.
Yep.
And then you put a smaller guy on him, he's gonna dominate him in the air. You put a taller guy on him, well, what he can do on ground level is as good as anybody in the forward line in the competition.
He's a fantastic player. There's no doubt about it. This is why the forward half of the Australian team debate.
Well, there you go. He's got to be right up there in those calculations.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm saying, I keep saying this. When he realises just how big, powerful and good he is, Jakey, in the next couple of years he will destroy games. He will completely destroy games. I have that absolute faith in him.
He's a fantastic player. Damo, we're not calling him the package, but I'm not calling him Gary Ablett just yet either, by the way.
Hey, just quickly on the Parker hit.
Yes.
How strong is Parker?
Yes.
I would have been out for 3 days. He just bounced up and brushed it off.
Out, didn't he? Yeah, he was lucky. Well, Nathan Brown was lucky.
Oh, yes.
He was lucky he got up.
Yes.
But, that's the way that we judge things.
Yeah, that was a tour there for Brownie.
He got away with one there because he is tough. But he has broken his ankle. Moons, what does that mean for Sydney? John Longmire yesterday saying that he could be back for the late in the finals.
Interesting call, isn't it? I mean, you think he's broken leg, you think, what, 3, 4, yeah, you think his season would have been done.
Sort of 6-8 weeks in a boot.
So it's obviously not a huge, huge break.
Still surgery and still just recovering from the surgery takes a month.
You'd be astounded, really, if he came back for any type of football at the end of the year.
Yeah. Can they win it without him?
I didn't think they could win it anyway.
Right. Well, that's a no.
But, it's going to be a bit harder now without Parker. Mm. I still think we're just talking to Luffy this morning, actually.
Luffy!
Talking to the great man. And we're talking about how they're very much a handball team out of the stoppage.
Yep.
You know, their kick-to-handball ratio is the lowest in the competition. And you just look at three of their four ball winners on the weekend all just had more handballs than kicks.
Well, the game was a handball fest, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But if I'm an opposition side around stoppages, I'm going to stack them up. Because they love to handball. They haven't got the speed to just break away. Or they don't go forward with the handballs. They go back and sideways and wide and all those type of things. I'm going to stack them up. I'm going to put enormous pressure on these guys around the stoppies and try and get my turnovers that way.
Would you ring them? Would you play on the outside of them? So they can't, they can handball all they like and then they're
quick
forced,
kick out, quick
they're
get
forced
out
to
of stoppage. That's a win for me against Sydney.
I tend to agree to that. While you're talking, Glenn Luffy gives us our Mooney nominations, the Score Involvement King of the Week, and in turn, the Year Moons. He sent that through. And the Round 20, who's the Round 20 winner of the Mooney Award for the best score involvements, highest number of score involvements in the round? And, of course, the inaugural Mooney Award for 2015 is highly sought after in clubland. They're talking about it. It's
big
news.
This week was obviously going to come from somebody who had a big 100-point win this weekend.
Yes, made sense.
So Dangerfield, who is unbelievable form at the minute, isn't he? Interesting to see what he's going to do at the end of the year.
Well, he said the Cats discussion is crap. He said crap. That's the quote. Crap. It's crap.
Not happening. 14 score involvements on the weekend. He was absolutely brilliant. Robbie Gray with 13. Josh Kennedy with 12. And Rory Sloane, 12. And Mitchie Robertson from Brisbane
with 12 as well.
Does
it change the overall leaderboard?
No, it doesn't. Our man Josh Kennedy still leads at 170, with Jack Gunston coming in at second, 156. Mitchell, 148. And Swanee just steaming up the ladder there, 145.
Too.
Swanee having another great year.
Josh Kennedy taking all before him for the 2015 Mooney Award, the Score Involvement King. Jimmy in South Morang, let's get to you on the open line. Hello, Jim.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Good, Jimmy. Thanks.
Fellas, I just want your opinion on a couple of things.
I'll make it quick.
I think two players are untouchable, Cripps and Murphy. The rest should be on the table because that club, the players are dictating the club down there. They've had enough chances. Second of all, Melbourne and the Bulldog game, the umpire, they're stuck in the game up. That's why people are disinterested.
Don't worry about the umpires, mate. The Carlton situation, is it the only two untouchables, Moons?
Oh, Gibbs is untouchable.
Gibbs is untouchable, Murphy's untouchable, Cripps is untouchable, the
it's
rest is game
on. It's not a four-year deal.
It's going to make it hard. Thank you, Moons.